Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, May 12th, 2025. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everybody who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself, and to raise or lower your virtual hands, you can click on the raise hand icon and that will do the trick. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful, because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. I do request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking, because it helps eliminate any external noise. It also helps the interpreters in, be able to do their job well. At the same time, I also request for speakers, anytime you make any comments, please state your name before you start making your comments, because it helps the interpreters. It also helps everyone who's listening on the phone call, and when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them knowing who the speakers were at the time.
Recording in progress.
I'm sorry. Okay. And we do have a wonderful presentation today, so I would just remind the presenters, when you show your presentation, please describe it in detail for the convenience of our members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. So in advance, thank you. We will get to the public comment section later on in the meeting, and I just will go over that any members of the public, if you'd like to make comments, either you can send me a chat message now or raise your hands, virtual hands, at the time when we begin the public comments, so that we know how many members we have for public comments and we can take them in the order received. I just want to remind everyone to please describe yourselves in briefly, initially when speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair. So just a brief introduction of yourself when you initially speak. And in advance, thank you for that. Chair Kalabia, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda out loud and then I can take the roll call of the committee members.
If you sure.
Okay, great. So before I start reading the agenda, I will put that on my screen. And when the agenda is visible on the screen, if somebody can confirm for me, I would appreciate that.
I see it.
Thank you.
See
All
it.
Right. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. Afterwards, Chair Kalabia will go through the motion of review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We have a wonderful group of colleagues here. Al Himes, he is the Director of Bus Service Planning and Scheduling. And we have Erica Cunningham. She's the Vice President of Community Relations and Outreach. They are here to talk about the bus service changes that go into effect on June 29th. Afterwards, time permitting, we will have committee discussion led by Sandy Newsell about wayfinding signage review at 4 stations, including Lafont, Metro Center, Roslyn Station, and Gallery Place. That will follow the public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. And now that we are going to the roll call of the committee members, when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster. Darnese Bush. Tina Kalabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Audio now unmuted.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher. Just for the record, Debbie Fisher had informed that she may not be able to join the meeting today. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newzel.
Present.
Thank you. Bill Posner. Sarah Rod.
Present from my Metro Access vehicle.
Thank you. Glad you could join. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Semelford. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonon. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, I just want to state for the record that Denise Rush, Doris Ray, and Thomas Mangrum have informed that they may not be able to join the meetings for some time. And with that, Chair Kalabia, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. At this time, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. Do you have the floor?
Yes, if you could proceed with the agenda.
Darnice Bush joining.
Thank you, Darnice.
Okay.
A motion to approve the agenda? Second?
I
second, Chino.
This is Rico seconding.
Thank you. Hearing no objections, the agenda is adopted for today. Now, with regard to the minutes of the last meeting, we were joined by officials of the Prince George's County Transportation Department, and you have seen the draft minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved. Here, so moved. Mm-hmm.
Do I hear a motion to well, not hearing any objections, the minutes are so approved. Let's proceed with today's agenda. And the first presentation, of course, Al Himes is joining us again. Al?
Yep. Yeah, good afternoon. And I'm also here with Erica Cunningham from our customer experience team. Let me pull up the presentation here.
Al, would you like to present?
Yep, that's...
And you should be able to share. Perfect.
Okay. Do you have the presentation up?
Yes, we do. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. So I'm Al Himes. I'm the director of bus service planning and scheduling here at Metro. I'm a white male with mostly no hair, and I'm wearing reading glasses. But anyway, we wanted to talk to you today about the new bus network starting on June 29th. First of all, just as an overview, we just want to get the message across to everybody in the region that your route is changing on June 29th, whether it's that, it's mostly the same route and we've just changed the name of it, or that we've significantly changed how you might use the service because the route that normally goes by where you're located isn't going to quite follow the same path anymore, and it's going to take a different path to get someplace or connect to locations where you're going in a different way. So we want to make sure that, we're getting the word out. There's also changes to the bus stops as well. Some stops will be added in locations where we currently don't have service on a street. Other places, some routes, some bus stops will be removed in locations either on a street that we're no longer serving, or some places where we're still serving the street, and in an effort to consolidate bus stops and make service move faster. What is the overall Better Bus project? This was Metro's commitment to improving service and connections using the resources that we have available today. This is adjustments to where the routes go, what times the service operates, how frequent the service operates. Just looking at, a very comprehensive look to overhaul the bus network and make it work better for the needs of how our community has developed over the years. So, this is the first comprehensive redesign of the network that we've done in the entire 50 years of Metrobus. We've done a number of smaller adjustments here, adjustments there, or a couple routes that we've adjusted in coordination with each other, but not sort of like throwing it all comprehensively into the mix and looking at how the network works together at one time. This was to more efficiently use the available resources that we have to provide the biggest benefit to our customers that we could for those resources we have. This is also to help us better connect to the region, especially like how the region has developed over the years, and making sure that we're connecting everyone to the locations that are important to where people want to be connected to now. Working to make the bus more convenient for people to use, more frequent routes to the places where people want to go, improving the service that we have out on evenings and weekends, so making the bus service work better for people all the time, not just something that works well in the peak period that doesn't work well at other times of the day, and filling locations where we had gaps in our service. But overall, just making service better for what our customers do today. This the prod to get to where we're at. This was 2 years worth of planning, and throughout that, also 23 weeks of engagement region wide. So basically a half a year spent just on outreach out to the public and our riders to help develop and get this network to the point where what we're rolling out is most useful to our customers in the region. Over 45,000 interactions at 225 events. 21,000 comments received through this process, and 12,000 responses to the surveys that we've put out. Also 120 briefings with public stakeholders and elected officials and community groups. 32 events to speak to our employees and our bus operations teams. To hear what they have to say about that. Also other, 6 events to speak to other Metro employees outside of the operation groups to get their opinions on this. Over 100,000 visitors to the website, 36,000, 3,600 newsletter subscribers, and close to 2.5 million impressions on social media and transit apps and other social media type interactions. As part of the new network, all of the bus routes will have new names, as I previously mentioned. So there is a new naming system that we've developed. On the slide, there is a display of the new bus stop signs that we've been putting out in the region. On the bus stop signs, in the top half of the bus stop sign, there's a blue bar indicating what service serves that stop today, indicating that that's the service that will be in effect until June 28th. And then in the larger half, in the bottom half of the sign, there's a red section of the sign describing that the service starts on June 29th, 2025. And that will have the new routes that serve the stop. In this naming scheme that we have, the first letter of the route designates the general area of the region where that route operates. So in the District of Columbia, we have routes that start with D's and routes that start with C's. The routes in the District of Columbia starting with the D's are the routes that are focused on connecting various parts of the district with downtown DC. The routes that start with the C's are the routes that generally do not go downtown, but are more just connecting, the crosstown services connecting neighborhoods within the district, but not actually going downtown. Also, along these lines, there's the A series routes that are routes that are primarily focused on serving Arlington County and the city of Alexandria. There's F series routes that are focused on mostly serving Fairfax County, the city of Falls Church, and the city of Fairfax. There are M routes, which are primarily focused on serving Montgomery County, and P routes, which are primarily focused on serving Prince George's County. Also, as part of this process, Prince George's County Transit is also renaming their routes to carry these P series routes as part of making it more of a seamless network throughout the region. So you'll see both Metro bus routes and Prince George's County, the bus routes, with the same naming scheme with the P series routes. Also within this route naming structure, then the first the middle the number, so in the sign example, we have the D40 up. So the four in the D40 that designates sort of the general corridor within the District of Columbia where, like all the 40 series routes are generally routes in the Georgia Avenue corridor. And then the last digit is just a designator that, describes that, it identifies the specific route within that corridor. Some routes are marked with an X as that last digit. The ones with the X indicate that those are limited stop routes. So, like the limited stop service on Georgia Avenue will end up being the D4X in this new system. Also, on adding to the bus stop signs, we're indicating the destination of where the routes go on the sign as well to make it easier to understand which side of the street to wait for your bus. So more about getting to know the bus stop signs. As I described, the old routes are described in the blue section at the top of the sign, indicate that those end June 28th. The bottom half in the red section are the route described as the routes starting June 29th, where there's multiple routes on the sign. The font is a little smaller. Where there's just one route, we actually made the font larger to fill the entire sign up.
Al, does this sign, which is on the screen, appear now at stops? Hello?
We can call for more information, as well as the bus stop ID number, which you can use to get more information through the transit apps or through the interactive voice response system at the 202 Go Metro number to get real-time information about when the bus is coming. So where we're at in the schedule, we've been, we're now just 7 weeks away from launch day of our new network. we've been working since, we've been working on a lot of materials since February, as far as getting all the customer information ready to go. We've completed the schedule pick with our bus operators, and our bus operators are training on making sure that they know all these new routes very well. And most of that training is wrapping up as well. We've done a lot of installations of the bus stop flags, working on getting prepared to install maps. And we've also released the trip planner with information where you can start looking at how those new trip, your new trip might work. And then we're ramping up to do a lot of extensive outreach, which Erica will describe in more detail here in the presentation, and getting ready for that June launch day. And then we will continue to be out doing some outreach, including up until getting prepared to provide information about students returning to school in August on the new network. So now Erica will, I'll turn it over to Erica so she can describe more about all the materials and outreach that we have planned.
Thank you, Al. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and someone has their hand up, but I don't know if you all want to wait until we present or if the question is specific to what Al was just sharing.
Please continue first.
Okay, thank you. So we have a lot of information materials on the new network. We have plan your trip with the trip planner, which is really what we would like everybody that uses their phone to take the trip planner as their way to really understand where they're going, where they're going to and from. The trip planner will tell you exactly what bus to take and where it will let you off. We also have option of 202 Go Metro, which is an option where you could get someone live during certain hours to help you plan a trip. And if you see the box below the trip planner section, it really gives you examples of how you can look at a trip post June 29th. Just to get an understanding of what your new route would be called and give you that information. And what we really want to encourage people so that they're not overwhelmed, it's one trip at a time, right? Like, yes, the entire network is changing, but for many people, they use one, two, maybe three buses. Really learn those buses and even more granular, where do you need to go on June 29th and look at that trip in Trip Planner. We also have a route crosswalk on our website, which can help you better understand what routes are being replaced, what your previous route was, and what your new route will look like. Because some destinations on an existing route might be different. There could be more stops, there could be less stops. This was.
Erica, this is Anu. We cannot hear you.
This was data and use of service might be getting less service. Are you all not hearing me?
Now we can. There was just a slight, just a second gap. That's all.
Okay, sorry about that.
No
I'll
problem. Okay.
repeat talking about the route crosswalk, which will help people understand what their old route is and what the new route will look like. And again, this can be found online. And then we have route profiles, which will detail hours of operation, the frequency of the routes. Some routes might be getting more service. Some routes, again, based on ridership, might have less service. And then we also have neighborhood profiles. All of this can be found on our website. Many of them are print friendly. There are some materials that we can share with stakeholders. So we believe that we have information, tools, and resources to kind of fit everyone's learning style and how they best want to receive the information. So we also have multiple ways that we are reaching out in person. We have pop-ups. We have over 40 of these type of events where we are partnering with things that are already going on in communities, at farmers markets, visiting various senior centers, going to fairs and other types of events in the community, trying to meet people where they are so that we can share information about the Better Bus Network and the changes that are coming on board. We also will have bus stop chats. We have more than 150 of those scheduled at various bus stops, transit centers, high frequency routes, just a number of places where we know there might be a lot of questions, a lot of people, or a lot of change. So these things will be happening really leading up to the launch, like week before, a couple of days after, really to try to meet people once those changes have been made. We also will be doing ride-alongs. We have over 90 of those that we will be doing. Again, high-frequency routes, routes with high riderships, routes with a lot of change, where there will be someone on the bus handing out material saying, "Hey, are you aware? Beginning June 29th, this route will now be called the this versus that." Again, just really trying to meet customers where they are. And then we will have on-street staff assistance. You all, if you're familiar with when we have major outages or updates to like the winter shutdown or summer shutdown, we have staff that are on the ground. We call them boots on the ground. We will have several of those all across the network, including in out in the field, answering questions, helping people get familiar with Trip Planner so that they understand their new routes.
I'm sorry.
Again,
Oh, yeah.
someone's not
Oh,
on.
that's a great idea.
So if you don't remember anything else, I think Al would agree that if you just go to WMATA.com Trip Planner and put a date in the 29th of June or later, that it will help you plan your new trip. And it's really one trip at a time. So, extending the reach of our engagement, we are doing something called Better Bus Partners, and that is where we are partnering with community-based organizations, hosting elected official sessions. We've made a communications toolkit. There will be some mailers that go out, training our stakeholders, joining meetings like this today. We have signs that are going at bus stops, at stations, and other hot spots. If any of you all are interested, you can have a yard sign. I put mine up yesterday. And while I don't live on a main thoroughfare, I live right off of one. There's a bus stop right at the corner of my street. So anybody that's driving through, walking through, can see this information. So anyone interested in that, we can give you one of those for your yard or a community-based organization that you think might be willing to have it. Again, we really want to raise the awareness about the changes. And we know we've been doing this, engaging in some way or another for over 2 years, but we are really ramping up the last 45, 30, 15, 5 days, 7 days out. So we are really excited and thank you for this opportunity to just kind of go over how we are engaging. And if you want to take it one step further and become a social media influencer, feel free to follow us on all our social media platforms. You can amplify our messages, you know, share them, forward them to your distribution list. And in that communications toolkit, there's language, there's information that you can use to share with your community, your family, your friends. Also, an audience that I didn't mention that we would be reaching out to with direct pushes of email, like we send a newsletter to nearly 3,000 people. That list is going to grow because we've now curated a list of faith-based organizations, churches, synagogues, mosques. So again, we're just trying to meet people where they are, where they get information, and sharing this pertinent information about the new network and the changes.
Okay. Thanks, Erica. Also, as part of the process, you know, we've been continuing to work closely with our jurisdictional partners for the implementation of the new network. That includes working with the jurisdictions on the new bus stops that we need, on-street improvements that we need to make the new routes work, you know, and noting that, you know, there may be a few items here or there where, you know, we may have to make adjustments when we initially roll the network out. And once those adjustments are done by the jurisdictions over the summer, then we can, you know, implement a new bus stop we might have to start, you know, with the route making a slight detour until something is ready for a bus to make a particular turn. You know, but we'll roll that out then once the jurisdictions have made those improvements to us. Also, as part of this, you know, Prince George County Transit has been a big partner with us as part of this redesigning their network as part of our project, in part of this to help, you know, support, you know, the county with some issues that they've been having with, you know, battery electric buses that they're having trouble maintaining a parts inventory for. We have transferred 10 of our buses that we no longer needed to the county to make sure that they're ready to provide the full level of service that they, you know, they have said that they would provide on, you know, starting with the new network on June 29th. Also, that includes some places with, you know, especially in Maryland, where we, you know, locations with Prince George County Transit, as well as Ride On, where you'll see some bus stop signs that have information from both of our agencies on there. So just like the bus stop signs I described earlier, you'll see that the local systems information are on the signs in some of those locations. Other local operators have chosen just to keep their same signage up. So it's not necessarily everywhere in the region that this will be shared, but the agencies that did want to share, to have their information on the same sign, we have done that. We've also been working on updating the bus maps and the station area maps. Those will include the information from the local operators as well as Metro Bus, regardless of where they're at in the region. And as I said, continuing to work with the jurisdictions on roadway adjustments that are needed to make sure that the buses can operate the new network safely. So a number of activities that we've been working on, you know, we've been working on installing bus flags since early March. You know, over 46% of the new flags are installed. 100% of the notices of where stops will be removed have been installed, notifying customers of where those stops will be removed. Most of the bus operator training has been completed, you know, with over 11,000 training shifts completed so far. as far as the digital system, the trip planner is live and available to use, as described earlier. You can select dates from June 29th or later to test and see how your new trips would work in the new system. We're also been testing a lot of the information of making sure that all the next stop, bus stop enunciators are going to be working correctly inside the buses. All the real-time data that gets pushed out to the transit apps will be working correctly, and so forth. The new destination signs will have the correct information displaying properly. So a lot of testing has been done with that and getting that all ready to roll out. We've had a lot of internal coordination working on the plans, as if you've heard, for the activation and how we're going to handle the management of rolling out the first few days of the new network. And we've also been completing all the updates to the maps that will be available soon with the new information. So, what can you all do to help us with the new network? If you would like to provide additional assistance, definitely, all customers can try out the trip planner and see how that's going to work for their new trip. Attend one of the many pop-up events that will be out there starting in later in June. You can also share the Route Finder tool with your friends and other riders to make sure that they have the information. And you can also send us feedback and questions that you might have on a new network. Also, as a committee, if you also want to help provide push more information out to the region, that's also, you can promote the trip planner with the contacts that your group has. If you want to sign up to be one of the Better Bus partners, you can reach out to us and get more information. If you want the communications toolkit to help spread the word, that information can be provided, and you can order other information materials that you want to distribute with the constituents that you represent or regularly have contact with. And then just noting that there'll also be another period of outreach and engagement going into the fall associated with the return of schools that we won't necessarily hit with this initial rollout in on June 29th when schools are out. So that concludes our presentation.
Oh, well, thank Al and Erica. Before we move to other questions from other members, I just have a couple. Well, first of all, I've shared the trip planner with some of my community contacts. And they were, of course, surprised to know about all these changes. but with respect to assistance of staff at the bus stops themselves, once the changes come into effect, how long will those staff be available at the stops? When do they start, and when will they end their duties at the bus stops themselves?
So I am not looking at the spreadsheet right at this moment, but I believe they are starting around the 16th or 19th of June, and they will go through midweek after the 29th. So really trying to catch people right as those times change, but we can share that information with you in detail if you
And
want.
Erica, there are hundreds of bus stops and fewer staff that's going to be at the bus stops with the information. So
there are thousands of bus stops, right? So
right. So how are you going to cover them?
We are, well, we're not going to all of them, in full transparency. We are looking at high impact routes. Some routes, the impact is not as great as others. We're looking at trying to catch people at transit centers where multiple buses are. We also are doing ride-alongs on various highly impacted routes. So if you catch a bus in a very low frequency in the, you know, out on the periphery of the network, we might not be there. But the objective is to reach as many people as possible. And that's the strategy that we use based on data.
Erica, my guess is that where bus stops are being removed, maybe you can have those staffed at those bus stops before they're removed to explain where the new bus stop will be.
So that is not in our current strategy. There is some language around if a bus stop is moving, there is messaging and language there now or will be up. Right, Al? I don't want to misspeak, but yeah. I believe, yes.
The messaging has been installed at all the bus stops that are being removed. A lot of those stops are being removed because, you know, the ridership was pretty low at those locations overall to begin with. So, you know, a lot of the activities that we're doing is to try and get the word out to as many people that we can reach with the resources that's available. So, you know, the bus stop elimination is mostly done by the, you know, posting notices at the stops.
Okay. Well, I'll have to tell you that I've already begun to talk to residents in my area, and I've mentioned that there will be some bus stops that are removed. And they've wondered how they're going to find out where the new bus stops will be. And that's why I raised the question. And maybe you can't get the staffs to be at all those bus stops, but that is one point that they make. How will they know where this new bus stop will be?
Yeah, so the trip planner is a very effective tool to help understand where you need to go to catch the bus, because the, you know, if you put in your the specific address that you're coming from to catch the bus, the trip planner will start off by giving you walking directions to the closest bus stop to that location where you can catch the bus. So that will give you the detailed walking directions to get to a stop that will still be in service.
I live on a bus route for not only WMATA, but for Ride-On, that is the Montgomery County bus system. Will they be doing something specific to their bus stops?
Yeah, their information is in the our trip planner as well. The information that's in there for Ride-On now, you know, there may be a couple things missing in what's in there in this early rollout of the trip planner. But Ride-On is going to have an update to their data available at the beginning of June, and that will have all of the accurate information about Ride-On once they give us that updated data set.
Other jurisdictions as well, not just...
Yeah, the other jurisdictions, their data is in there as well. So, you know, so in June, when we get the most up-to-date data sets from all of the jurisdictions, that will be in the trip planner, and the trip planner will provide, you know, accurate information about how to access any transit that operates in our region. It's not just limited to Metro service.
Okay. The last thing is, I'd like to arrange to have several yard signs, which I can post at bus stops near me. You don't have to tell me how to do that now, but I'd like you to provide those to me. Other members have questions?
Chair Calabia, this is Anu. We have four members with their hands up, beginning with Vanessa Coles, and then Sandy Newell.
Audio now unmuted.
Sarah Roth, and then Philippa Mazel, and then Steve Kaffin. So Vanessa, go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Vanessa. I am a middle-aged woman with layered hair, and I have on a t-shirt today. So I have a couple of questions. One, there's a lot of stuff for sighted. I represent the blind and visually impaired. So I wanted to know what kind of audio that you have available, because I did send out the to my distribution list a new scheme, and they were very happy to receive that. But I would also like to get that link for the trip planner so that I can send them that, as well as right, I need some more audio. Are you all going to do maybe some local TV channels to let folks know audibly what's going on? Because a lot of my constituents are in DC and they use the bus and rail often. And these are blind folks that know how to, move up about their inner city. So they need more information. And I wanted to know, are you all connected with the Matrix, with the Waymap, the new software that's out there to help to navigate? Have they upgraded their software, do you know, to reflect the new bus routes? And then my other question was, how does the transfer work? Is that the same type of thing when they transfer from one section of DC to another or throughout? So those were kind of my concerns or questions.
Yeah, so I can, the transfers, this will not change how the transfers work. That will all still work the same as it has. I'll have to we'll have to get back to you on the Waymap and see where that's at on the list of the data systems to update, and what sort of information they're taking from us. So I don't know if that's taking there's a standard format that we put our data in for the different applications out there. So I don't know if they're taking that data and updating it, but we can check on that.
And Al, also to add to that, we are your feedback. We will share with our ADA group internally, and they will also help us identify what is the best and most appropriate way to reach various communities. So thank you for that question.
Yeah.
Vanessa? This is Barbara Millville, Ombudsperson for People with Disabilities at Metro. Good to see you. And I wanted to address the Waymap question. And there is currently no Waymap GPS service at any bus stop that includes Montgomery Ride-On, the bus, Fairfax Connector. That is a massive job. As they said earlier, there's thousands of bus stops, and they are working on that. So, no Waymap on the buses quite yet, just the rail.
Okay. So if a blind person was trying to, you said at the stops there's postages, is there audio postages at those stops as well, so they can hear that there's some new change? I mean, I know that may be costly, but I'm just trying to see how blind folks are going to realize these new changes.
Vanessa, I had actually some communication with bus and rail riders who are totally blind, and Actually, the bus operators have been communicating with them. They become good friends over the years, as you can imagine. And so they will make a point of speaking to their regular riders and letting them know of these changes.
Okay, because yeah, we do have a lot of regular people who take who
Yeah.
ride the bus and rail as well.
And
Okay.
Absolutely.
there's also audio announcements that are, if they haven't started yet, I know we were programming audio announcements to start to announce, make people aware of the changes on the bus. You know,
Yeah, I did hear you say that.
the
Yes.
next stop annunciator has messages that, yeah. So I've got confirmation that those announcements have are currently live. So we are communicating that to people already on the bus.
Now, can they be done also on the subway? Because you have audio there too. Or to connect to let them know about the buses on the subway.
Yeah, we can inquire about it, but
And then,
right now it's just the bus.
Al, I also know, and I think I am speaking accurately, that there will be some onboard messaging, not specific to a route, but making people aware that there are changes to the network, correct?
Yep. Yeah, that's what we were just talking about. Yeah,
Oh,
those.
I thought she was
Yeah.
talking about on the train, but it could
Oh,
also be on.
yeah. No, not yeah. We were talking about that on the bus. Yeah. Okay. So if that's coming to the train too, yeah. Okay.
And again, I would like to get the link to give out to my distribution, how they can play with it,
Vanessa,
mapping there. Yes.
this is Anu. I'll email you the link for Metro's trip planner.
Yes. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
It's right from our homepage, so I'll be happy to email that to you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I think that concludes Vanessa's questions. Next is Sandy. Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, the Caucasian woman, senior, gray hair, maybe it's white, blue shirt, and a couple of pairs of glasses. So, thank you for this presentation. I am low vision, but I have seen printed messages on metro st platforms, the metro rail platforms, talking about this coming. So that's good. The message is getting out for people who can see signs. On one of the slides, you mentioned digital signs. Were you referring to the digital signs on buses that there'll be sort of an alert message like if bus routes are changing, the Better Bus Network starts June 29th?
I mean, that would definitely be one of the types of, the
Okay.
real-time information signs that we have the ability to push special messages out to those signs.
Because and this is a little off topic, and you can say no, don't know the answer. There was talk of e-paper signs in physical bus stop shelters, and I was wondering if there's any e-paper signs up already, and if so, would those be talking about these Better Bus Network redesign, all the new stuff coming on June 29th?
Yeah, I mean there are a number of those. The e-paper is one style of the real-time information signs that we have at bus stops. So that information would display on those signs, that special message.
And then just a comment, your term of route crosswalks. I thought for a second, yay, I can go to my trip planner where I get off the bus. It'll tell me which way is the closest crosswalk. So a little confusion on using that word. I see the word crosswalk and I think the safest place to cross the street. But my third question is, and this is possibly looking into the future, a couple of months. It looks like you're spending a lot of money making these signs where the bus stop flag signs, that have at the top, this is the old route, and then below that, the new route. How long are you going to keep the old route information up there, and how easy is it? It's just kind of curiosity to get rid of that old route information. 3 months, a year, just going to leave it up forever?
So there's a larger project to look at improvements of the bus stop signs overall. So these signs are still an interim sign. It probably will be up maybe 2 years while that new sign is being developed, because they want to make sure that they're getting a lot of input from the various customers and that about what the best design for the bus stop sign is. But the signs that you see posting now, we are doing those very efficiently. We figured out a way to print, basically a new heavy duty vinyl sticker that gets applied to one of our old bus stop signs. So we had extra signs in the inventory, so we started off by making signs with the signs we already had in the inventory, and then as signs come down, they go into the graphic design shop and get a new sticker applied to it, and then go back up as a new sign someplace else. So those signs that you see up there are just repurposing what was already up on the street. So, so we're trying not to invest a significant expense in the signs that we're installing now, but also getting effective information out there with a bigger project to come to make more significant improvements to our bus stop signage.
Okay, glad to hear this is not a huge capital investment, that the vinyl stickers are lower cost, and there's down the road some other plan. Okay, that's all for my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandy. Next is Sarah Rod. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Sarah, a middle-aged female with sort of short, I'm going to call it blonde hair. Some might say gray. Anyway, a couple of things. First, I wanted to echo Vanessa's concerns and sort of Sandy's too, being visually impaired. I'm a little concerned about the visually impaired community finding their way. I can just imagine showing up to the bus stop that I think they're supposed to be at, only to like not know that they're supposed to be somewhere else, and not fig that not having that obvious to them. I mean, I think it's great what Barbara said that bus drivers are going to go out of their way, but I'm not sure you can rely on bus drivers doing that as sort of an extra bit to let the everybody know. I mean, certainly they're regulars that they're friends with, great, but there's a pretty big community out there that doesn't necessarily ride every day or have a regular route or whatever. So I'm not sure what the solution is, but it does concern me a bit. Also echoing Vanessa, I'd like some information that I can share with my local community. I don't know if there's a flyer or something that's easy to just sort of print off and hand out to people that has some basic information and QR codes or something like that, as well as whatever the link is for the people that don't, again, see as well. But my original question was actually about the naming convention. I was interested in how your the I got the D and the C and in general the A, but for those of us who are out in Virginia, so if I'm looking at the A routes for Alexandria and Arlington, do all of those then go into the district? Or is there any distinction between like the ones that are headed downtown versus the ones that are headed like all the way across the city or within Alexandria, Arlington? Or just like a little more information on that. And like the bus route that I use most frequently, closest to me, has an A and a B currently. How is that going to work?
So the intent of the letters was to just help keep the same letters in the general part of the region that the routes operate in. So it's not intended to be that, like, if a route runs from Arlington to the district, that it would have an A and a D in that. it was more, each route was just looked at and like said, like what's the primary focus that this route exists for in the network, and that's how the route designation got identified. So we didn't want to complicate it by trying to have multiple leading letters, to trying to describe every single detail of the route. So a route that is primarily focused on serving Alexander and Arlington would have the A designation, even if it does go into Fairfax County or does go into the district.
Okay, but what about like the variants? So like I currently use the 10A, 10B frequently and they have slightly different route. So how is or the ones that have a different timing, different days of the week or things like that?
So if so like the 10A, 10B example, those routes, those are still designated as two separate routes in the new network. There's enough, they do share a common corridor in Alexandria, but they serve significantly different areas in Arlington, so those are treated as two separate routes.
So hypothetically, in the new network, which I have not looked at it in detail, it would be like A10 and then A11
I
now or
think
something.
I think they're I think they're the A11 and A12, but
Okay.
I can't remember if it one of them's the 11 and the other one is, I believe, the 12, but I'd have to look it up to double check. It could be the 10.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Next is Philippa. Philippa, go ahead.
Good evening. First of all, I want to thank each of you for your presentations. I guess Metro has made you the sacrificial lambs to put lipstick on this pig. I don't see anything better about this bus service, except maybe the labeling, the ABCD and all that is better. I'm sure it's probably a cost cutting. I'm not sure, but you said you had 12,000, I think, comments coming into Metro about the changes in the routes, and I'm willing to bet Mr. Blake's money that most of those comments were adversarial or in despair or concerned or upset. It's just the length of the blocks in DC. I don't know. I can't speak for anywhere else, but for instance, the 14th Street corridor, those blocks are so long. One block can be the equivalent of two blocks anywhere else. And suddenly, you have to walk these two, actually four blocks down to the next bus stop. I'm like I said, I'm sure it's a cost-cutting measure, and I just don't see anything better about it. Plus, the sign, I saw some signs on some of the bus stops, and I'm average height, 5'4". Oh yeah, I'm an African American female, low vision, 5'4". But I couldn't see the sign. I couldn't see what it said because it was, maybe eye level for someone 6'4". So first of all, that was confusing because I didn't know, what the sign was actually saying. So I don't know. Yeah, I understand it's probably cost cutting, but trying to call this a better bus, I don't know who's going to buy that. But anyway, the labeling sounds good, the ABCD stuff, because I never that 52, 54, 80, 70 never made sense to me anyway. So at any rate, those are my comments.
Okay,
So
thank
anyway,
you.
please just make sure all the signs are at eye level for a normal height person and not a giant when you're moving the bus stops.
Next.
Thank you, Philippa. Next is Steve, and then Patrick, and then Darnies. Steve, please unmute yourself.
Okay, there we are. Hi. Yeah, I hope you can hear me. Steve Caffin, Caucasian, black, thinning hair, and I'm wearing a light blue shirt today. First, very quickly, congratulations. As I said at the AAC meeting last week, who would have thought 2 years ago that the the date that was thought to be the key date would be met, and there would be such a significant number of responses. And so I just want to congratulate you. And it's a major achievement. And it's going to be, but it's going to be a complex time for the next 3 or 4 months for all of us. In line with that, I have a suggestion, and you may have already set this up. Most people don't use trip planners, know even what they are. And this would be a good time, perhaps a week or so before June 29th, to schedule time on all of the news programs in the morning and perhaps in the afternoon too, and have representatives go on and show people hands-on how to use a trip planner. I think that would be very effective. Just telling people the website is not going to be enough for many people. So may I suggest that you spoke out and spread the word. The question I have is there going to be a website or a phone number for people who have concerns about about a particular stop, particular route, which may or may not be founded, but who would like to express themselves? I wonder if you have set something like that up. And I have a comment on something else, but Al, have you set something like that up? And what about public service announcements on TV for on how to use the trip planner?
I mean, as far as comments, our customer service center will still take we'll take comments on the new bus network and concerns, just as they do on concerns with the current network. So that 202 GO Metro number, you can call that, and if you have a concern on something, you can leave that with the customer service center, and then they'll make sure that that gets routed to the appropriate people to address that. And I can pass the suggestion along with the trip planner demo. It, whether the media would pick that up and take the time to actually show that might be a little more difficult, but I can pass this suggestion along as something that we might be able to post on our end.
Okay, thank you. One thing I'd like you to look at, there is a but there's a sign running through Next Bus that's particularly long. It's not the people who were using the digital displays to find their next bus. And the sign goes that driver shortages have impacted this route, and so please be aware that you may be expecting longer delays on this route. For further information, and then it gives a website that runs that's 5 or 6 lines, and you figure each one is 7 seconds, so that runs the better part of a minute. And if you're standing at that site, that's irrelevant because you know the time that your bus is coming. So given that people are going to have a lot on their hands to know to begin with, you might consider looking at what is perhaps clutter and cleaning that up at least initially, so people can focus on the bus stops and and the bus times.
Yeah, I can pass
Thanks.
that. I can pass that comment along to our communications team that posts those messages. Stops.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot. Once again, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Patrick, go ahead, please.
Very quick question now. This is Pat Sheehan, senior male, with sweatshirt, Bronco sweatshirt and slacks. going back to what Sandy talked about with signage, I know those signs will be temporary. There's a subcommittee or task group within DMV Moves that's working on wayfinding. Isn't I think that group is going to take the ball and sort of run with it for what the signage is going to look like regionally. Is that accurate?
Yes, you're correct that there's yeah, there is a group with the DMV Moves working on that. And Metro, there is a team member from Metro that has the lead on working on the new bus stop sign design that is our primary representative with that group. So,
Okay. Yeah. I thought we were talking about the sort of the next step in the evolution of the signage, what it'll look like.
yeah.
Hoping that a lot of it falls back on WMATA, for good or bad for the region, since they're doing such a good job with the signs, the designs that we're seeing right now. So inside the system. But we'll see. Good, sir. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. Darnese, go ahead.
Okay. This is Darnese, a senior Afro-American female, wearing a little beanie hat and a brown beanie hat and a black t-shirt. I wanted to know what's exactly included in the kit that you plan to give out to organizations. And I also wanted to know if included in your pop-up and outreach, are you planning to go to libraries and include public libraries in the DMV? And also ANC meetings or community meetings that the various jurisdictions had to get this information out. And also thank you for providing the information.
We just, I don't have the specific details of what all's in the toolkit.
I can chime in a
Yep.
little more. Sorry about that.
Yep.
So, we have press releases. I think we have social media messaging. But if you go on the WMATA.com Better Bus page, the communications toolkit should be there. I can also drop it in the chat and then you'll see everything that's there.
Oh, okay.
But the goal is really to give you information. So if you have a distribution list or a group that you communicate with,
Yeah.
easy language to use, frequently asked questions, all of those type of things. So let me go online and I'll drop it in the chat.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. But are libraries included? Libraries and community meetings, like council meetings, for this information, for distribution of this information.
Yes,
Part
so we just, yep,
one.
we have various meetings. We have something called Better Bus Partners, and that's all types of organizations like the World Bank and all kinds of partners. We just had a meeting this weekend. My colleague in government relations, we had ANCs all across the city come. We gave them the information. We're going to be sharing the information with all of the PIOs, the public information officers for the day. So we are really trying to go wide with who we are engaging in messaging to.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And one other thing, we're doing something at we're doing information sessions at the community centers in DC. We also have a list of over a little more than 300 churches, a faith-based community, DC, Maryland, Virginia, that we're also going to message out to. So really trying to make sure that we cast a wide net so people are aware and are getting information from their trusted parties.
Okay.
Okay.
If you want your information, if you want your group included, should they contact you?
What, to receive the information or once we give it to
receive
you?
It.
Yeah, if you have a organization that you want us to send or add to our distribution list,
yes,
yes, you can email that to me, or we have an email address that I can also give you where we're updating all the information.
Okay.
I'll drop that as well.
We're into the next item on the agenda, but Vanessa and then Janice Samuel.
Gullert, audio now unmuted.
Just quickly, I was one other thing I wanted to ask. Is there an alternative way to get trip planning for those blind users that don't have an Android? Or is there somebody they can call or a number to press when they call WMATA to get trip planning other than, you know, putting it in your phone, your cell phone?
I believe if you call the 202 Go Metro number, they can help with that.
Because there was a way. I mean, there was a person you could speak to help with planning. So I was just wondering if it's going to continue.
The customer service center definitely will run stuff in the trip planner and verbally talk through what those plans are. I would need to double check and see what they've been trained on at this point as far as the looking ahead at the new information, though I know we've done a number of trainings with them on the new network as well. And they would just need to know to run those dates of past June 29th and run those in the trip planner and describe what the trip says.
Janet.
All right.
Janet.
Thank you.
Yeah, two things real quick. So first, are you saying the trip planner does not work on Android? And the second item is, I just wanted to echo what the previous commenter said that about having television news media report on the changes in bus lines and showing trip planner screens and how to plan a trip. Many apps and stuff, they do that frequently on television. They'll show what the screens look like and, you know, have a pointer and say, click here, click there. So I don't think that would be difficult at all to, you know, have that encapsulated in a news report.
Metro has media briefings all the time to pass information along to the media. They choose to use what from that briefing in their broadcast that they feel they're making their judgments of what they feel, you know, their audiences want to hear. But my understanding was that there was a media briefing earlier today on information about this with a couple of our executive vice presidents. So, we'll see in the news cycle what they actually picked up from that briefing that they want to, push out to the audiences.
Okay. And the other item is, so the trip planner doesn't work on Android?
I'm not aware of that. That was someone else's comment, but but I'm not aware that there's a problem with it.
Okay, great.
This is Barbara again. I wanted to let you folks know that there is free travel training for customers with disabilities, all different types of disabilities, that you can learn how to use the trip planner as well as get help about going from your old bus stop to your new bus stop if you happen to be in this situation. So 202-962-1100, and we will put you in touch with the travel trainer.
Barbara, can you send that to all the members of the bus rail?
We sure will. Thank you.
Yes.
Chair Calabia, Rico Dancy has a question, and I think Rico might be the last one with the question. So Rico, go ahead.
My question is, are we going to reach out to college also to form them?
To who?
College, education, like schools, college, all college, to form them, universities,
yes,
community college.
Yes, we are engaging with schools, colleges, universities. We participated on campus with Howard University. Over 3,000 students were at like their admitted students day. So there were current students, upcoming students. So yeah, they are definitely in our outreach plan.
How about Gallaudet University?
Now I have to look and see if Gallaudet is on our list. And if we didn't do an event there, I believe if they are in our list of over nearly 3,000 organizations,
that we have a lot of deaf or hard of hearing students and people who go there. Like,
yeah, very familiar. I just need to look and see if they're on our distro list. But if not, we will add Gallaudet and make sure they get the information.
And
thank you.
And DC Associate for the Deaf.
DC Association for the Deaf?
Mm-hmm.
So Thank you so much for those.
I'm a board member of DC and Associate for the Deaf, okay? We just heard about this, about the new bus change. So a lot of IDEF colleagues was concerned about the X2, you know. If people who grew up in DC in all these many years, the X2 was on 8th Street. Mm-hmm. Now it's changing and there are concerns. Why change now? Why did they do this now? Why didn't do this 20, 30 years ago? So a lot of people have a lot of concern, especially when I go to Gallaudet. I'm studying now of a master's degree. But one of my friends said, why are they changing the bus numbers? I said, I have no idea. I said, I will be asking these questions. Is why? Because the H2 is front of my house, okay? And I saw it last week. It's going to be a change to a D40, I think, of the a D40 on 8th Street. So I'm just a little confused and a little concerned about that.
Thank you Rico, for your question. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Rico, we've had information shared with both the AAC and with Bus Rail Subcommittee for some time. And I'm sure that Al and Erica will follow up on your questions.
Okay.
We're now over time. I do want to thank Al and Erica for their presentation and for answering our questions. Thank you again, Al and Erica.
Yep, thanks for having us.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah.
Anu, we should move to the next item.
Okay, that topic is going to be led by Sandy Newsell. And Erica and Al, thank you very much for your presentation. And thank you for all the chat messages you have placed. I will email those messages to the AAC members as well with the links. Sandy, it's all yours.
Okay, and if you can't hear me, I knew, try to let me know. Okay, good. I'm going to turn off my camera because I put together a presentation that Anu is going to share with everybody. So the point of this presentation has to do with metro station signage. And in particular, I'm talking about static signs, not the digital signs that get updated. And the reason I'm doing this is that Sarah Myers and her team, and I apologize, I always forget Sarah Myers' title, but I think she's the vice president of WMATA. She's been very helpful explaining how Metro is trying to improve signage. And she's also been very upfront about saying they're testing different signage in different stations and they're looking for feedback. Well, they get feedback from regular customers going through the station, either repeatedly or new to the station, trying to figure out signage. Those people will talk to the station managers, but she presented it to the, you know, there were field trips to go look at L'Enfant Plaza and Rosalind, and she's been trying to engage the AAC. So I'm continuing to try and engage the AAC. Now, I look at this from the perspective of a person who's low vision, not necessarily from the perspective of a person who's blind or deaf, but, you know, people who are, you know, trying to read the signs and finding challenges. But what helps people with low vision might help people with regular vision too. So on, I think it was April 5th or something like that, I spent a couple hours and I specifically was focusing on stations that had two levels, because getting between levels, getting to the correct level, getting to the correct side of the platform, this is all important to figure out as you're navigating the station. And I happened to see in L'Enfant Plaza one of the wrapped cars. I couldn't figure out what the wrap was until I got home and looked, showed the picture to my husband, and he says, "Those are cherry blossoms." So I got to see one of the cherry blossom Metro cars go rolling through the station at L'Enfant Plaza. So there are a lot of signs and a lot of formats in every Metro station. I really commend Metro. There's signs up high so that you can look above the heads of a crowd. There are signs at eye level, but sometimes they're far away. There's stations at eye level that are close enough. You can literally walk up to them and kiss them, as Barbara of Millville says, kissable signs. And I've heard Sarah Meyer use that term too. Kissable signs are great for me because I have to get so close to see something. High contrast is important to me. Metro has been doing a wonderful job with high contrast of letters on signs. So you have to find the signs that work for you. Not all signs work for all people, but that's okay. There's enough signs, or almost enough signs, and that's where I'm going to be critiquing it, for everybody with low vision to figure out where the heck they're going, depending on where they start from and where they're going to. So there, I do have, you know, questions for you guys to weigh in on. Maybe save the weighing until the end, but, you know, things to think about. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So navigating within a Metro station, here's two examples of how do you find the elevator if you're in a wheelchair, or like me yesterday pulling a suitcase, and it dawned on me, I shouldn't be on the escalator. Of course not. I should be at all those elevators I've found recently. So I was really glad that I'd been experimenting finding elevators. So for Metro Center, there's a sign where on the left picture on the left side, there are white circles. I have to zoom in to see this. I can't even see my own pictures. There's a you know, the universal handicapped sign, sort of a wheelchair silhouette. There's the elevators going up and down sign. And then there's an arrow. So these are three individual white circles with black lettering on them. Is that correct? Because I keep, inverted pictures. So I flip between black and white. On the right side at Rosalind, there was one white rectangle that had those symbols, the arrow, the S elevator symbol. And I guess it didn't have the wheelchair symbol, but it, I don't understand. you know, which works better for you might be the question. And maybe Metro had some hidden reasoning that I don't understand why. In some cases, those symbols are on a white circle. And in some cases, those symbols are all on one white rectangle. Just think about that. Which works better for you? And the reason I ask this is, if Metro's playing around with different signage and one is clearly better than the other, then we should let them know our thoughts or add our thoughts to the public's thoughts so that the next time they're making signs, they can use the better version. Okay, next sign. Next page. Okay, but the most important thing, the most confusing thing, hands down, and I think everybody would agree with me, when you get off the train on the lower level, whether it's Metro Center, Gallery Place, or L'Enfant, you get off onto one platform between the two trains. When you go upstairs to get on whatever line is upstairs, it's Red Line at Gallery Place, and Metro Center, but it's Green and Yellow Line at L'Enfant Plaza. You need to go in the correct direction to get to the correct side of the platform, because upstairs the trains are in the middle, and it matters which side you go to, which direction you want to go. And if you make a mistake, you have to turn around, go back down, go underneath the tracks, and come up the other side. Or in Gallery Place, I guess you can go up and over the tracks, but it takes time, it's frustrating, it's annoying. So really good signage. Now, I gave an example at Roslyn down here on the lower left, and it says above the escalators, high overhead. So it's kind of hard to see. I'm craning my neck. I'm taking a picture with my phone camera, and then I'm zooming in to read it because I can't get up close and kiss that sign. It says exit is up. There's an up arrow. And it says it's towards DC and Metro. That's good. And it tells you that it's all three, you know, blue, orange, and silver lines. And then it says it's upper level. But I could stand corrected. Metro, maybe I missed it, but I don't believe there's any other sign on the lower platform at Roslyn that other than above the escalators to tell you where the other direction is to go. And then at Metro Center, which has, you know, the two trains on either side, that's the upper right picture. You can see the trains on either side, and between them is stairs to walk up. I think there's also a place where you can go up escalators, and you can always go up an elevator if you can find it. So the sign above the stairs, again, it's high overhead. I cannot physically read that without taking a picture with my camera and zooming in. So above the stairs, it does say this direction to the such and such exits. But come to think of it, it doesn't tell you that this is, oh, it does tell you it's also the direction to Shady Grove on the Red Line. Okay. Then down here at Gallery Place, I took a picture of the sign above the escalator on the lower platform. It tells you where to go up in the middle of the sign, but the light reflecting off the sign is so bad that even taking a picture with my camera and zooming in, I couldn't really read it. And I'm trying to make the point, this happens at some of the places in Metro Center also, and L'Enfant Plaza. That the light in the ceilings reflecting off of the signs can be a problem. The sides of each of those signs are telling you which direction the trains are going on the lower platforms. But getting from the downstairs level to the upstairs level is my biggest challenge. Once I've learned the system, if I've done it enough times, I can remember how to do it. But I can't tell you how often I've gotten lost and had to do extra walking in L'Enfant Plaza, in Gallery Place. I think I'm doing better at Metro. I hope that resonates with people.
Barbara Millville, you've done a lot of work for decades, really, I guess, on signage within the stations. How do you react to the Gallery Place problem? Barbara?
I get lost too, to be honest, but we're
Yeah.
working on it. I got a
Yeah.
solution, and
Okay.
you can kiss it.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. We got to get with our management about it, but
Yeah, and
you heard.
okay, so next sign, and I want to keep going as quickly as I can. Maybe I'll be able to get through this whole thing. So the elevators in Metro were some of the clearest signs I saw. I was really thrilled. So above one of the elevators, on the lower level, it said the elevator to the street was on, you had to go to the opposite plat. No, I'm sorry, this is on the mezzanine level. Told me I had, if I wanted to get to the elevator to the street, I have to go to the opposite platform. It also tells me that all trains on the lower platform, Shady Grove is on the opposite platform. So that was very informative.
I agree.
I think Barbara, and I agree that as you're facing the stairs or the escalators on the lower platform, the pillars that are in front of the stairs, maybe 10 feet back. But if you're facing the stairs and looking at those pillars, there should be room to say, to put a sign that's at a kissable level to say which way to go up. Okay. And I think I even heard Sarah Myers talking about that one time. So I'm optimistic that, and like Barbara said, they're going to work on it. Okay. Next page. Within stations, how do you get out? Where are you going to go? Because Metro Center, L'Enfant, and Gallery Place all have multiple exits in A, B, C, and D, I think, in all of those. And it's very confusing. In the picture on the left is a picture of a map that's sort of like at it's like a table at a slight angle, a map within the station. So that you can look at it and you can see where the exits are, and the exits have A, B, C num lettering, which I think a lot of people might have been taken aback by that concept. But I think Sarah Myers has come up with an idea. If you can sort of mesh that the exit A, exit B, exit C are connected to, and what street exits. So I do actually like this concept. I can't actually read that map on the left when I'm in the station, but signs that are telling me, and on the right, I've given examples at Gallery Place where it says exit to the gallery, 9th and G Streets. I might be misreading the sign. They could slip in exit A, exit B, exit C, right there, whichever exit it is. Or on the right, exit to the arena, 7th and F Streets. They could say exit A or exit B, whichever it is. One more letter slipped in there might help so that you associate the letter of the exit with the streets. And below that on the right, Metro Center, 12th and G Streets, 13th and G Streets. Well, they could put, there's a blank space right below that. They could say exit A or B, whichever it is. And over on the right, 11th and G Street with a big arrow pointing which way. And that, again, they could say exit such and such. There's space to do it. So I hope in the next round they do that. Okay, next page. At the exits, this is in L'Enfant Plaza. There's a pillar near exit A, and the giant exit A I can actually see from about 20 feet away on the, I call them the guard shack. I'm not sure what the proper term for that is, but where the station managers hang out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say what street that is. So if I've finally learned that exit A is associated with a street, that's fine. But there is a pillar within sight of that, and it says, pointing this way. It also tells me this is the direction for elevators, but it says exit A and it says 7th Street and Maryland Ave. So that is convenient. You are getting really close to the exit where the exit letter is associated with the geographic street that you're about to exit to. And I happen to like that former one, Gallery Place, where they tell you you're going to the arena or you're going to the museums. These are really good things coming along.
Yes.
Okay, next one. So here's an example of where the exit signs do have the letter and the location above. So on the left, Gallery Place, it says exit D, 7th Street, and it's the elevator to the street. When I was walking through the station, I saw that huge letter D on the wall first, and I thought, but they didn't put the street letters as a street address until I finally took a picture and I realized they did have the street locations up above. I honestly don't see things until I know they're there. And the example on the right, I've exited Roslyn Station numerous times. I never noticed the sign above the exit that tells me it's exit B and what street it's going to. And if I want to go to the elevators, it's you sort of turn into a hall to the right, and that's called exit A in this station. So honest and truly, if that was down at eye level, I would have seen it before taking this picture. But it is there. I give them credit for having that information there. I would just like to have it more at eye level. And they do have it on pillars at Roslyn Station, so I can't be too critical. It is on pillars just further back from the exit. Okay, next. Okay, so I want to make about a point about airport information. In L'Enfant Plaza, they only credit the yellow line for going to DCA. It's not in this picture here, but I'll tell you that the blue line also goes to DCA, Ronald Reagan National Airport. But here are pictures at Roslyn, on the upper level at Roslyn, on the left. It tells you if you go down the escalator, you're going towards Virginia, and there's blue, silver, and orange line options, and they have those in circles, the standard symbol for which line. And right below the blue circle, it does say DCA, and right below the silver circle, it says IAD. That's good. I like that. But when you get downstairs, there's a Roslyn on the wall sign telling you this is Roslyn towards Virginia. This is reassuring. And then below that in big letters, this is all I saw at first, to Washington Dulles International Airport, take the silver line. We'll get you to IAD. It wasn't until after I took this picture that I finally realized that below, if you take blue or orange, or, you know, blue, orange, and silver all go towards Virginia on this platform. If you take the blue line towards Virginia, it will take you to DCA. Now, I will criticize Metro here for mentioning IAD in big, gigantic letters, Washington Dulles International Airport, but DCA is just in tiny little letters. I mean, I think that DCA deserves just as much credit here. So that's just a personal opinion. Okay, next. As you're exiting stations, this is an example at L'Enfant Plaza, and there are signs, there are maps by pretty much every exit. I finally noticed these on white paper telling you where you are on a map. But this one, just inside of the fare gates at L'Enfant Plaza, because if you're paying for your ride and you go out the wrong fare gate, you don't want to come back in and pay for another ride just to walk to another fare gate. So this lists what is the points of interest at exit A, exit B, and exit C. So the points of interest are fairly large, and this is a kissable sign I can walk right up to. But when I first looked at this, each place, and I apologize that this is kind of blurry by the time I take the picture, put it into a PowerPoint, and then blow it up. But let's say it's Metro offices. I think it says it's C3. Beside each point of interest, there's a letter and a number, a letter and a number, a letter and a number. And I thought, are these bus routes? And I actually asked the station manager, and he said, no, 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 no. That's the square on the map. When I showed it to my husband, he knew immediately that that represented a square on the map. You know how maps are broken into I don't know, the letters are down the side and the numbers are across the bottom, something like that. But the letters on this and the numbers on the sides of this map were so tiny, I didn't even see those. I think that those letters and numbers across the top or and down the side, in this case, I guess they're not on the bottom, could be larger so that somebody would associate that D3 or C4 with a square on the map. Okay, next one, or maybe this is it. Okay, as you're exiting, well, as you're entering a metro station, they've started putting digital signs. And so I am talking digital signs here, I admit, about what, where's the next train going, or, you know, and where's it going and how many minutes away. And that's very useful information. The one on the left is an example at Metro Center, and it's got the light background. I don't know why. The one on the right is like the digital signs on platforms, and it's got the dark background, which is much easier for almost all low vision people to read and readable by anyone with normal vision. So I'm not quite sure what the logic was there. Anyway, I think that's the last one, Anu. Or is there one more?
This is the last one. Yes.
I think that's the last one. So anyway, comments, if we have time, I know we're probably into customer comment time, but think about these, notice these things when you're riding Metro and, you know, give me feedback. I can pass it along, or, you know, give feedback to Anu. She can pass it along. Does one work dramatically better than the other? Or does it even matter? You know, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe I'm making mountains out of molehills.
Sandy, this is Barbara. I could give you a little tip, if you don't mind. Use the avoidance strategy. You don't have to go to Gallery Place. If that's really frustrating.
Any comments, or do we need to go on to public comment period?
Okay.
Go ahead, Barbara.
You can use the avoidance strategy and avoid Gallery Place. You can go to Judiciary Square. It's a short 2 blocks away. And that's what I always did when we had our meetings at the old building. And then in terms of exits A, B, C, D at L'Enfant Plaza, remember, if you can remember B as in boardroom, if you're going, pretend you're going to a Metro board meeting. So just remember that exit B is the Metro headquarters. That's how I remember it.
Well, before we go to public comments, as chair of the subcommittee, I think we really have to compliment Sarah for introducing new signs. Now, there may be ways of improving them, but several of the signs that Sandy has taken pictures of and shared with us are brand new and were much needed. Now, a few would benefit from improvements, but the fact that they're now there is really great. So it is 5:48, and Anu, are there any public commenters that have their hands up?
So, Chair Calabria, this is Anu, and I see Sarah and Jenna Samuel have their hands up for the topic which about signage. However, I would say that if any members of the public have public comments, please let us know now, because the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. And we want to make sure that if any members of the public have any comments, we can take them. Either you can come off of mute and state your comment, or you can raise your virtual hands by pressing *9 if you're calling through phone, or click on the raise hand button, or send me a chat message. Janice, I see your hand up. Did you want to go ahead and make your comment now?
Yes, thank you, Anu.
Sure.
So the two items. The first, at the risk of duplicating, I understand that labeling eggs as A, B, C, D is easier, but of course, I think it's obvious that we have to make certain that we have the information of where exit A will let you off. So you have to be able to cross-reference, A with a street name or, a place so that you know, because just A alone isn't going to help someone know where they are. You have to think of tourists and stuff that are coming from out of town. And so I think I'm stating the obvious. You guys know that. And also regarding signage, the second item, and I really try to be positive when talking about Metro, the New Carrollton station, the construction has just made things horrendous. And there's no signage or not clear signage where Kiss and Ride is on either side of the station, the Annapolis Road or the Garden City Parkway station. And for someone who's blind or low vision, you're looking for a ride share to come pick you up. The construction has just made it absolutely horrible. And there are Metro employees when you come in on the Garden City side who are telling, ride share drivers that they can't come through anymore, but there's no signage that shows they want you to pull into the garage and drop off people, but there's no signage that says that. One of my ride shares, he was directed into the parking garage and he had to pay for parking. It's I don't know if it's temporary signage that's needed or if this is going to ha be how it is in perpetuity, but it's horrendous at New Carrollton.
Thank you.
There are signs on the fences, Janice.
Okay, let's see. Sarah, right?
So before we move on to Sarah, Chair Calabia, if I may, I just want to state that any members of the public, if you would like to make comments before or after the meeting, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Okay, and I just want to ask one more time if we have any other members of the public to make comments, please let us know now. Otherwise, we will continue with Sarah Rod's comments. Okay, Chair Calabi, I don't think we have any additional members of the public. So we can go ahead and resume the topic with Sarah Rod's comments.
Thanks. And thanks, Sandy, for raising this. I think it's a great topic. I agree with, I think, everything that you said. I'm not familiar with some of those stations or signs, but I'd certainly be happy to work with you on coming up with various recommendations. It's funny, had I known that you were going to do this today, I would have sent you a couple of photos I took yesterday. I was traveling with one of my kids in a wheelchair, and they had perfect vision, which obviously I don't, but getting off of the train at Union Station, for the life of us, we could not figure out where the elevators were. It took us several minutes. Unlike the signs you showed, where it has the big Union Station sign, as you know, on the sides of the thing, underneath of there was no directions anywhere to where the elevators or where wheelchairs are. I'll send you a photo of it. And then on the pillars, which are sort of diagonally oriented, on the one side there was no signage. It wasn't until we went down and then turned around and came back the other direction that we could see that on one side of the signs there was directions for elevators and wheelchairs, but on the other side there wasn't. So consistency all around would be great. And anyway, I'm happy to help you, and I'll follow up with you offline later. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Chair Calabia, Rico would like to make some comments. Rico, go ahead.
Sure.
He is correct. One sign have one side, it have the one elevator, and the other do not have it. I've been there 3, 4 times. Let's talk about my trip on this past Saturday. When I schedule my rides, I tell them I have to be at work at 6 a.m. They'll come and get me to 5 to 5:30. I get right up every Saturday because I'm 15 or 20 minutes late to my job.
Rika, this is a complaint that should come up at the Metro Access meeting, which is next week. But go ahead.
So what can, I'm going to bring it up and then I'm going to send an email about it because this is, I mean, it don't make no sense. Why is when you schedule, you tell them you got to be there, you have to be at work at 6, they'll come and get you to 5 to 5:30. So ain't no way you can make it work by 6.
So again, Rico, you know, if I can jump in, this is Christian Blake from Metro Access. The challenge with your trip, Rico, we've said it, is bus service does not begin in your area to give us enough time to get you from home to where you work. I'm glad you have a job. We want to get you to work. But put yourself in a position of, you know, your brother. Let's say Rico Dancy. Let's say Johnny Dancy. If Johnny doesn't have a disability that qualifies him for Metro Access, and Johnny tried to ride the bus or the rail to get from your home to your job, he would not be able to get there in 30 minutes. So that's what the challenge is. We're trying to serve you. We want to serve you. We're doing, but you've got to understand you're in a situation where there is no public transportation service available, and you're asking a public transit agency to provide you service that's not available to the general public. We're trying to figure out a way to do it, but that's what the challenge is. Because your trip was picked up on time, but again, we just don't have enough time to get you from your home to your job because of the distance and the lack of public transportation that's available at that time of the morning.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
I'm working on it. I hear your frustration. We're trying to find a way to, because whatever I do for Rico, whatever I do for Sandy, I'm just throwing you into Sandy because I see you on the screen. But whatever I do for one customer, I need to be able to do it for all customers. And that's really what the challenge is. So it's not even about Metro Access or give them Uber or what. The trip is 5:30. I think we took you. I have to go back and check this out. But I think we took you straight to work. But because that's the earliest we can pick you up, it's the challenge. But we're working on it.
Okay. Mr. Blair, I am going to email you. Yeah. About something because you put it send me the link to an application, something.
They told me they call. Okay, we're gonna take care of that tomorrow for sure. I'll definitely make sure we take care. But send me a reminder just in case. You know, I'm getting old, so I may forget. Send me a
email. I'm gonna see you email tomorrow. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Okay. Thank you, Rico, and thank you, Mr. Blake. Regarding committee's feedback. On Sandy's presentation. Sandy and Chair Calabria, if you would like to discuss this further, we can surely put that topic on June BRS meeting to have further discussion. If the committee would like to send their feedback through emails, please send your feedback to me. Everybody has my email because we would like to share the committee's collective feedback with our colleagues. So please send any feedback that you may have to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Anut. There should be a continuation of what Sandy has shown us and maybe other ideas that the committee members have or members of the public regarding signage within the stations. I'm glad that Sandy, you mentioned signage in the bus shelters outdoors, because that's one thing that I think we can improve on also. It is now 5:59. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions to adjourning? In fact, we have no choice. and thank you very much. Thank you, Anu, Can you just hold 1 second after we